Okay. So we're holding here in the pasuk of Lo Yosu Shevet Mehudim Chokmim Raglov, and we have here the Ramban is the last time. We have here a fascinating a dialogue, a fascinating debate between the Rashba and Christians about who Mashiach is. It's not usual that you have these things. You have sometimes when these debates are forced on the Jewish people, like Ramban. But the Rashba says it's a Rashba and a Tshuva. L'lamed es bnei Yehuda, l'hashiv amorim im emes k'sasav yoysha, yoysha bein alichta l'fneichem, al ki oma bozne echot nichbad, ova leichem atam ekarev. So it says, I'm teaching you this in order that you know how to reply. Sometimes it'll be forced on you, sometimes it's just you live in a society and this is what people tell you, and you have to. So there was a Muslim who spoke and spoke about the Inyan of Mashiach and so on. I'm not sure that would Yishmaelim over here, if he's using it sort of a to mean Christians or not, but one of Chachmei Umos came and said the following thing. He asked me I should reply. Therefore, I decided, I'll write what he argued with me, one of their wise people, and more than that, that which you heard when it says Yerusha Rishayna B'Shnei Yeshlam Shishayinlam, I'll explain to the Gemara, I'll explain to the Inyan and so on. So I'm assuming that it was a Muslim that might have spoken to these people, and it was a Christian that the Rashba spoke to, because these things, you don't find these debates with Muslims really, and Muslims also don't have, they don't really have a concept of Mashiach. It's not, I mean, they speak about a true prophet, and so on. There are some sects in Islam that believe in some sort of hidden imam and so on. I don't think that that's what was happening at the time. Okay, but as be it as it may, these arguments certainly are much resound much more as Christian versus Jewish. Omar Cholik, the person arguing said Mashiach came already. And what's his proof? It says that Yaakov, when he blessed his children, that which will happen with them in Achris Hayamim, it says, Lo Yosa Shevet Mehudim Chokmim Raglov, Ad Ki Yavo Shilo Shilos Mashiach. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there will not stop being a staff from Yehuda, meaning royalty, monarchy, will not stop by Kol Yisrael. It stopped. That Lo Yosa Shevet, there will not stop Malchus, and Malchus stopped. So it must be that he already came. It says Lo Yosa Shevet Nirochay Raglov, Yehuda will not stop being a king at Kiyav Shiloh until the Mashiach comes, which is what you yourself say it means. So if that's true, then how in the world can you deny Mashiach came? That's question one. Amari, so I replied, Ein milas ad meira lahafsig inyam mikam ve'elek. The word ad doesn't mean final. In other words, when I say la yosef min ho'agav ad ki yavo shilo, the word ad doesn't mean it one long continuous. There can be an interruption. Einos ad mor lafsig in mikam ve'elech. Elopom avtiach al biyasinyan ve'koshes masach achrav. Which means that even after, ve'ho'eid, k'lo azovcho ad ha'shem asise she'debarti lecho. He says, I will not let you go until I haven't done all that I told you. Ve'elo ze'hefsik. she'im kein lahoisaf tochas ha'eza, rakulos ha'zim ha'kam ve'lech. In other words, if ad means that the minute it stops, then it's over with, then it doesn't make sense. It says, I will not let you go. So if I don't do it, then I don't have to keep helping you. And David told us, so the word ad doesn't mean it has to be continuous, and if it's not continuous, it's gone. It means this bracha can be chal in the entire time between now and then. So if I say that until this happens, so-and-so is true, it doesn't mean all the time, but it means all the time it's possibly true. That's, and the raya is, Hashem said, I will not let go of you until I've done until I've done what I promised you. So that doesn't mean that as soon as I stop, it's over, but rather the whole time, there will be periods of time if Hashem will help us. One. So he says, okay. Chazal Otsadak, he said, okay, it doesn't mean that it has to stop. That, but it means, but didn't he tell him that I won't stop helping you, and so something is wrong about the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Amarti im haftochas Yaakov, a Novi, shal yosa shev hu ledboi Mashiach, v'lei sor begolos bobos, v'lei sor begolos bobos. He says, well, let's take it the way you said it. If you said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise has to be true in that way, so there was no king from Yehuda 500 years, from Golos Bavel until your claim of Yeshu. So once again, what's the difference? You have a 500-year gap, I have a 1,000-year gap. V'heishiv de Golos hu loisar, shehoyosan hedrash redonah fulvin efashas. So he said, no, the Klal Yisrael did not really cease to exist, because he had the Sanhedrin. Amar is the Eina Mishnei Taimim. Two reasons why that's not true. So he's trying to say, well, since Sanhedrin is there, there's still some form of monarchy. Ha'echot, first of all, Shoei Dorim B'Vavol Dinei Nefashis. V'lo afilu b'Yerushalayim Arba'in Shalakim Achurban. Yeshagol Sanhedrin Alishka Midas Atzmo. So in Bavol, there was no Dinei Nefashis. And even Yerushalayim, towards the end of Ba'i Sheni, for 40 years, there was no. There's Yerush Rav Ratchanim. Yaakov was promised Shevet Yehuda, didn't promise Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was Tamir Chacham of everywhere. And what kind of Sanhedrin they have going to Babel? I mean, they were slaves. They were conquered nation. They were vanquished nation. They weren't. They had no Sanhedrin. They had nothing. So Manefshach, if you're telling me that any interruption of the monarchy of Klal Yisrael is considered the end of that promise, and Mashiach must be there perforce, as they said, that then you guys also wrong. We've got a 500-year gap that we can't account for. Amas, so he says, okay, so you understand, but at the end of the day, didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu promise him that until that time, there'll be Malchus Yehuda? Amarti, Amitas Pirush HaKosot Kachu. You got the Pasuk wrong. The word Ad doesn't mean there'll be continuous Malchus Yehuda until Mashiach comes. It means the other way around. Lo Yosef Shevet Mirul La'ad. So it says, means because there will be a final time when Mashiach comes and Malchus comes back again. So he's saying, you know, by the dint of Mashiach coming afterwards, then the Malchus stays by Yehuda. And the point in it is, each and every shevet had either a king or a shofet. But since it's not their inherent right, it didn't stay. And once it's left, it left. In other words, it's the other way around. The Pasuk is saying everybody's malchus leaves at some point. But Yehuda's, when it will leave at some point, will come back because the final Mashiach is going to be Malchus David. Kashpov didn't say, you're not going to go on Golos because I need to keep Melech Yehuda. But it said that Malchus is yours. So even when it's not by you, it's going to come back to you. If I can give a simple mashal, something like the land that comes back at Yovel. It comes back at Yovel because it belongs to Kal Yisrael. And that's why it's theirs. It won't stop being his because at the end of the day, his Mashiach will come. Umatzinu ad kimo la'ad. It says sheichen ad v'kodesh shmoy, shmoy sheichen la'ad. V'hu shetigam ha-metagim lo yadi ovid sholten mit beis Yehuda v'safu mit noi ad alma de yesi mishicha de delay malchusa. So it says they won't lose the malchus until this time. I want to add a nekuda about this point. I guess in a bigger picture, everyone agrees that eternity is the hallmark of HaKadosh Baruch and Emes. And all HaKadosh Baruch does is true and eternal. So the Goyim come along with the following taina. You guys lost everything you had. You lost Eretz Yisrael, you lost your Malchus, you lost your independence, you went into Golus. If you were really the nation of God, how could you just lose it? Hakadosh Baruch gives things forever. There's a chinuch that says that the reason why the Torah believes in Yerusha, why the Torah mandates Yerusha, is because every blessing given from Hakadosh Baruch Hu should stay around forever, because that's the nature. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives an absolute sense. So anything that I earned, which means anything Hakadosh Baruch Hu brought my way, should be mine always. And since I don't live forever, it's through my children. So here also should be forever. Our understanding is much deeper than that. And let's give a marshal. Imagine a person. A person has some sort of talent that he never developed. A very deep musical talent. The day he hears music and he sees music, it'll come out. A person has memories that have been repressed, but they're real memories. Something will jar it and it'll come out again. In other words, the word le'olam, le'olam, means both forever, also means hidden, like Chazal Darshan. That means the zichri le'olam, the le'olam over there means forever, and it also means hidden. So even it's a much stronger description of eternity when something, even when it's gone, submerged, is submerged for some sort of tekufa, and then it comes back again. So Adarabba, the fact that Malchus is gone from Kal Yisrael for such a long time, it's withholding from Kal Yisrael, but when it comes back, it means that it's a rightful thing. If I can give us a simple physical analogy, if you have a spring and you push it down and you keep it down, it's not going anyplace. But whenever you release it, it jumps back because its natural position is when it's decompressed. So here also, Kal Yisrael, Shevet Yehuda has Malchus, Kal Yisrael has Malchus, and even though the Malchus is gone for so long, when it comes back, it will naturally come back to Kal Yisrael.
I mean, does this, he's bringing this up through the Kuach with
yes.
Someone. But does he discuss it outside of Shalat and Shuvas? Are there Rishonim that actually deal with this issue, as opposed to it being more of a set off by this?
Well, there is, from the Rashba, a sefer that we have. It's three Mamar Manamuna, which again, it deals in this context. So I don't know, it's called, Mamar Manamuna, three Mamar Manamuna. Well, again, it's a debate on Christian things, because that seemed to be the most prevalent issue. You have to understand that just like today, kfira is an important issue to us, because we live in a society that by and large subscribes to kfira, to some form of not belief, and we're part of that society. In those days, Christianity was big, dominant, people were very religious. Catholic Church was massive and impressive. The people, the chachamim, the wise people, were Catholics, and it was a big Yetzirah. So Ramban, you have the vikuach with them. Now, I don't, to best of my knowledge, in that kufa, I don't know if there was Sfarim written ahead against the Christians, you know, but the Mamarim of Amunah of the Rashba is something like that, the Barbanel. Usually Sfarim that deal with Mashiach, the Barbanel has Yeshua's Mashicho. That's all sort of a code word for dealing, for being an anti-Mashiach work. It's all dealing, you know, with against it. That's really the truth.
But are there Rishonim that actually deal with this? I mean, on face value, Ramban, it's a good question.
Right. Well, the Ramban deals with Pesukim like that in this. I don't remember if it. Uh-huh. If you want to take a look, there is a book or a sefer called Otze HaVikuchim. There was a fellow, Eisenstein, mm-hmm. who lived at the turn of the last century in America, who was a scholarly person, and very eclectic, and he collected tons of stuff. A lot of stuff that were printed, he printed. So he has something called Otze Yisrael, which is sort of an encyclopedia. Very fascinating person, very fascinating material. And he has Otze Vikuchim, which is a compilation of all the debates in the times of Rishonim, between Christians and Jews, I guess, and you can look there. I mean, I have it. I don't even look through all of it. It also has Otsavisios, which is a compilation of travelogues by early people. Also very fascinating. You know, travelogues of people of many of Rabbanim, Binyamin Metulida, and Rebbe Fadya Bar Tanura, and some of it's very fascinating material. So that you can look there. Okay, next piece is a Ran. That speaks about some of the causes of anti-Semitism. The echad me Yehudim Magdolim Shid Vias V'Shichena Huzek Amroi Kios Efech Al Amr Safa Brua Likur Kulam Shem Hashem Lal V'Shechem Echad. One of the great tidings of the Geula is that all the nations will turn to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yiratzu Bezeh. The nations will find Torah the way we understand it. So all the nations coming back to keep Torah, besides the good news for the nations that they'll be good people and shav Torah mitzvahs. Vu amram zal, ma ashab lo v'nachemcha. What could I do for you and comfort you? So Chazal darshan, when I even out you and the other nations, that's when I'll comfort you. Hapirish yadua, shekol haktotah shebineinu v'umos hei misibas kilof emunah. All the fights between us and the nations is because we're of a different faith. K'mashom b'shabes omnu rabbanu av kahana mishmil ha'chamai har Sinai. Someone asked of kahana, what is har Sinai? Only Har Shenasa Nisim Yisrael. Har Sinai, so the Gemara says, Har Sinai, Har Nisoi, my boy. So it should be Har Nisoi. El Har Shenasa Simitov Yisrael. Har Simonai, my boy. Only my time was just coming to Papa, Rebunah, Rebbe Yeshua, the Ma'ini Bagata. Why don't you go to Papa and Rebunah, Rebbe Yeshua, Bali Machshava? They said Agarasa. They didn't stick only to Halacha. The Apostle of Israel showed the Amir Tavai Maya Sinai, She Yorda Sina L'Umas Ha'olim Olav. There was a sinner that came down to the nations. U'kamoisha Amrum Tinsu Es Doidi, Matagiloi Shechelas Avani. Hagiduloi, She Kol Chaloim Shumas Ha'olim Mevim Alai, all the illnesses and ill will and problems that the nations visit upon us, they're because I am bound to him. And he says the reason is Akadosh Baruch Hu set us apart from other nations that we shouldn't marry with them, and not to eat a treifas. So that means basically we can't sit at any party with them or anything. And it creates a distance. So the Ram sort of hits the nail on the head. Ram says the reason why we suffer from Solom is because we differ from them. And you know, people need to think about it. Yes, we're on the victim side, and definitely we've suffered a tremendous amount, and it definitely speaks terribly ill of the others. But imagine you're living in your country, you're living in your neighborhood, or you're living at Israel, and 100 foreigners come, and they make it very clear they're not interested in integrating in any way, now assimilating. They want to stick by their things. So now it's going to be an Albanian neighborhood. And now it's not 100, but it's 1,000. And they each have 10 kids. And it's one thing, there's one type of xenophobia if those people will eventually integrate. So America has seen wave after wave after wave of people integrating. But nobody would like to be a host. You know, imagine somebody comes to you, calls you up and says, I'd like to come for a Shabbos to you. He says, oh, that's very nice. Love to have you. I says, but let me explain a few things. First of all, I think you're not kosher enough for me. Secondly, you're quite boring and speak a lot of Lashon Hara at the table. So what I like to do is I like to have a private place downstairs, and I ask you to stay away from me as much as possible. I'm not sure that I know a masochist, a big enough masochist, that would find pleasure in a guest like that. So imagine you let in a group of Chassidish Jews who came after the war. You're very nice, you take them in and everything great. Then they tell you, listen, we love being in America because everybody else hates us, but we don't want to learn English, we don't want to be American anyway, we don't want to serve the army or the police or whatever it is, we don't eat any of your food, so and so on and so forth. We want to live with our own and stick to our own, so we'd like to buy our villages and just put up the Sapu flag on it, the American flag. Yes, I don't know anyone who demands that level of tolerance would give that level of tolerance. If a Belzer would move into a Sapu neighborhood and say they want to make a little Belz over there, they would find themselves very, very quick on the other side of the fence. So we need to understand it. The fact that you can't express a commonality. So you're working in an office and you're not really part of them. Or the halacha is built to keep you apart. So it does create that dissension. It creates a tension. The Torah wanted it that way because we shouldn't be like that. We're not Americans. We think America is a tremendous country. We owe them a tremendous debt of gratitude. And they've revealed a lot of benevolence and exceptional attitudes to us. But we're interested in staying hidden, and so no matter what, it is going to be anti-Semitism. The people who said that if we assimilate, there won't be anti-Semitism were right. What was strange was that we couldn't assimilate, no matter how hard we tried. That's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there, like the Malach by Adullam, not letting us stray one way or another. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not going to assimilate whether you like it or not. Your choice is to do it proudly because you want to be different, because Hein Am Levad Yishkei, or you'll do it because I'm going to take a Meshuggah like Hitler and say that the Jewish nation defiles the German nations and weed out somebody who's even a 1/8 Jewish and get him out. So the richuk. I mean, the very fact that, you know, let's say something like yayin esach, telling a guy that I can't drink wine that you touched is highly insulting. I hope people understand that. It's not very difficult to understand that. And it is there to make avdolah between solom and solom. But at least understand. And therefore, Kala Yisrael tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hagiduloi, Shekol chaloyim she'umas olam mevim alai, einam el b'shvil shani ahevesei say. But I'm forsaken. And so just like imagine there's an attractive young woman amongst a group of men, and people are making overtures and trying to date her and so on, and she says, you know, I'm engaged to so-and-so, I'm loyal to him, faithful to him, I will not have anything to do with you. So people don't like it. When you're rebuffed, people turn very, very angry. But, so Kaisel Tagos Baruch Hu, I'm a misfit here because I swore allegiance to you. I want to add here a maral. So let's finish this paragraph first. When I even everything out, when I even have the other nations, and everyone will have the same emun as you, then you'll be confident. There's a morale that is really, really significant in explaining the Havdalah Klai Yisrael from Asylum. The morale says that, obviously in his time, people were very nichshol in Stam Yenam. People were very into drinking with the Goyim and drinking their wines. I guess Kedem hadn't yet made wine, so they needed to have Goyish wine. They didn't have quality Jewish wine, and so he wrote 3-4 places, very long, sharp criticisms of it, and so on. He makes the following point: people come to him and tell him the gzeira on Stam Yenam was because of Benosehem, that, you know, not to intermarry. Do you honestly think I'm going to intermarry? You know, to be honest, I'm going to tell Bar to sort of chill out for the Goya, and I'm already going to marry a Goya? No way. So he says they missed the point. And this is the way the Maral describes the point. The chiyuv to be mizbadal from Umos Ha'olam is be'etzem the Techel Kal Yisrael. We say it every Matzei Shabbos. Be'kodesh Ha'olam Ha'ishach be'Yisrael Amim. We're different, we're unique. We need to, I don't know where to celebrate that uniqueness, or we need to preserve that uniqueness. So that's there. Any activity that is the nature of that activity that it leads to getting married. In other words, drinking, because you see the drink leads chasos, it means it's a type of activity that we'll call it bonding. And therefore, that itself is something that's right. To do an act that is a sort of emotional bonding, a drinking partner of a guy is obfuscating the havdalah between Yisrael la'amin. That's what it means. Ar alma deitz mishir delei malchusa v'am v'leikas amim gulik schatzel v'el mishpata. A word or two about an issue. So people come and say, how are you different than the Nazis, and you're just as racist, and so on and so on and so forth. A long rant of those of that ilk. Two huge differences. Not that I'm looking for differences, but I think it's very important to be madgish the difference. First thing is, our being unique and special includes no privileges, only responsibilities. A goy can keep 7 mitzvahs and he's a fine person, gets olam haba. We need to keep 613 mitzvahs. The only thing that we have promised to us is Eretz Yisrael, which is only right. I mean, France has French have France, and Bulgarians have Bulgaria, and Albanians have Albania. There's no reason why Kosovo shouldn't have a place. I don't think anyone thinks Israel today is the greatest country. There's no oil over there. There's, you know, it's not as if we're taking the lion's share. Israel is our nation. So to say that we're racist, because it's like saying the French are racist, they want France to be for the French. Yes. Secondly, everybody's welcome to come. It just means accept the level of responsibility of 630 mitzvahs. You know, it's not like a German thing where they felt the superiority was that they could kill, destroy, exploit everybody else, and nobody could become a German. We're saying, A, we're special because we have great obligations. We say it's fine for you to sit on your spare time on a football game with a six-pack and enjoy yourself, as long as you're keeping away from as long as the time is enough. I say you have to sit and learn, and you have to sit on Lila, you have to use every minute of time, all that. And I don't want myself or my children to be influenced by a culture that doesn't have all these obligations. And if you want to join me, that would be phenomenal. You know, 35 minutes of a half to Sager. That's so it's has nothing in common with that. And somebody was complaining to me about it, and I told him, a very modern person explained to me about the Ein Nesach. I told him, but you make Abdullah every week. And he said, we Yisroel La'amim. You're making that point every single week. How do you explain this something Yisroel La'amim? So I'll complain. But La Sid Lavo, when Mashiach comes and all the nations will be the same Christ, then that hatred and that division which creates friction will be gone. Okay. Well, thank you.